Okay, so we're here at the Anarchist Book Fair again, and I'm here with Olli, I hope I pronounced that correctly, who's from Iceland, and there's a Save Iceland stall here beside us. So could you just tell us a little bit about what's going on in Iceland?
Yeah, it's in the last few years, the Icelandic government has announced to the international aluminium industry that they are going to dam all the glacial rivers in Iceland. There are masses of glacial rivers and of immense energy potential, and so they want to sell this energy to them even at a price which is so low that they keep it secret from the actual nation, the Icelandic people. But what all these rivers actually damming these rivers is going to cause such an incredible amount of irreversible negative environmental impact that it is basically criminal. Very much because Iceland in the first place has now got the greatest untouched pristine wilderness is left in Europe. And Iceland so far has also escaped the wrecking that the heavy industry has done anywhere else in Europe. So it's basically an ecological crime of incredible magnitude that they are perpetrating now. And last summer we had Saving Iceland had a protest camp, international protest camp, because we had to basically set out an SOS to the international community for help from people to try to both to call attention, international attention, to what was happening in Iceland, and also just to get to, you know, really stuck into direct actions against this.
Yeah. And at the start, like you said, that they didn't tell people. Is that correct?
Well, what they did was they basically the National Power Company systematically falsified a lot of the scientific reports, and even the
which surely is criminal.
Well, yes, exactly. They're saying that this, because Parliament voted with the Kárahnjúkar project, it's called Kárahnjúkar, where the dams, these first biggest dams in Europe actually, are being built now. They're saying that it was democratically voted for in Parliament, but how can you make a democratic vote on something that where all the information has been falsified systematically? And scientists, environmental scientists who did the environmental impact assessments, have been threatened, have lost their jobs. Wow. If they've stepped out of line, persecuted, not got any new jobs, and so on. And also even the Icelandic National Planning Agency itself, which is famed for being very tame anyway, and given the green lights to loads of really questionable projects, they said about the Kárahnjúkar project that there's no way we can do this. This entails far too much negative environmental impact. And they just overruled it.
And when and how did it become known to the public that this was going on?
Well, I mean, people obviously knew about it from the beginning because they had to announce it, of course, and it's such a big, mega, mega big project. It's in Icelandic history, it's by far the biggest project ever ventured into. And but they lied to people that this was going to create jobs. Icelanders were going to get 3,000 jobs building the dams themselves, and jobs in the factories. Then it turned out that they got cheap foreign labor, imported labor, building the dams. 90% are Chinese workers, Portuguese workers.
They have actually started the work. How far through are they?
They are they're probably about 2/3 through.
Okay.
But the main environmental destruction happens when they put the water into the reservoirs.
Yeah, yeah. And that takes the water from the lower streams, and all the habitats get broken. And
It'll take many months. It'll probably take a whole year to fill up the reservoir. Yeah.
And
that we never want to see happen.
Yeah, obviously. And who is going to benefit if they go through with this? Like, is it it's the national energy body of Iceland, is it?
Well, that's what economists have been pointing out for ages, and ever-growing opposition from economists, bankers, businessmen, what you're saying, the whole economic foundations of the project are just a complete facade, and that they're not benefiting the Icelandic economy, and also because they're selling the energy so cheaply to this company. But I mean, who really will benefit from it in the end are obviously all the middlemen, the subcontractors, the contractors which pay into the party funds of the Icelandic parties, the Conservative Party and the Progressive Party, who refuse to disclose who funds them, and of course the American Aluminium Corporation, Alcoa. They will of course benefit.
On the ground back in Iceland, like, what sort of feeling is there among the general public?
Well, it's, I mean, obviously the National Power Company and Alcoa have got millions and millions, they've pumped millions into PR campaigns and misinformation campaigns, but... but for example, the Gallup opinion polls show that half the Icelandic nation considers the Kárahnjúka dams to be an incredible mistake. And also Gallup polls show that almost 90% of the Icelandic people do not want to see heavy industry in Iceland or any further build-up of heavy industry.
And would most people be quite ecologically orientated in Iceland? As I say, compared to here in Ireland, where only a small percentage are.
No, I wouldn't say so, actually. It's Icelanders are quite a lot behind in ecological matters, but and are not particularly aware in that aspect. But of course, Iceland, because of the Icelandic nature being so very, very powerful and magic, because it's just so beautiful there, and it's such a new land and volcanic and special. People, of course, realize, a lot of people realize that in itself, this nature and this incredible wilderness is in itself an incredibly valuable asset for the nation, for all future to come. For example, in terms of ecotourism and things like that.
And what sort of action has happened now? Is there, like you mentioned, it was direct action. Has there been much direct action? Has there been much street protest? Has people in other countries been active as well?
Yeah, people demanded, Icelandic opposers to the dams, they demanded a national referendum. But the government completely ignored that, and there was an election
coming up. Democracy for you.
Yes, and there was a parliamentarian election coming up in 2003, and they were in no way ready to start on the Kárahnjúka dams. Yet they staged and televised on national TV this huge explosion in the canyon that they're blocking to create the main reservoir, which is like sort of the Icelandic Grand Canyon.
Okay.
And that really blew the hearts of a lot of Icelandic environmentalists.
Yeah.
And they just lost all hope. Now, God damn it, they've started the project, they've stopped it being an election issue because it started, we've lost.
Yeah.
But a few of us continued fighting, and that's when we circulated the international SOS.
Okay.
And a lot of...
through what channels would those be? Like, is there like Friends of the Earth, those kind of groups, or just like more kind of local grassroots activists? Or
all types. Okay. All types.
Everyone, really.
Yeah. Anybody that would hear our message. Of course, we're all completely, it's a completely voluntary organization, so we haven't got any money, so it's leaking out very slowly. But at least 200 people in all came to the camp last summer.
And that's from around Europe or even further afield?
From Europe, US, all the countries in Europe, Poland, you know, particularly from Britain. A few from Scandinavia.
Yeah.
And but now this summer on 21st of July, we plan to do another camp, and this one a much 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 bigger one.
And what's the nature of the last camp? How many people were there and what sort of actions were happening?
Well, each time there were between 30 and 40 people.
Okay.
And we locked onto the trucks and bulldozers at the dam, and twice we did that and stopped it for, first time I think it was 5 hours, second time for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then they basically threatened to attack the camp, and so we decided it would be wiser to leave and not give them more of a reason for any more violence.
And so is there like a tradition of pretty heavy-handed tactics from police in Iceland?
Well, Icelandic police are not very experienced when it comes to sort of crowd control.
Yeah.
and direct action.
Yeah.
So they, because they're inexperienced, they can be quite volatile. I mean, it wasn't that heavy, but they did drive us off the original camp.
Yeah.
But then local farmers came and offered us, at least five different local farmers offered us their land to stay on. So we chose one of them, quite near to where they're building the Alcoa factory.
And would that, like the farmers of Gavieland, would that sort of feeling be the same with all the kind of people from the area, or is it just some people like right next to the areas, like those farmers? Are they a minority, or is everybody feeling like that?
It is because the National Power Company and Alcoa spent so much money on PR campaigning.
Yeah.
And basically just brainwashing people. Yeah. Into thinking that they were going to get such fantastic jobs.
Yeah. But even like the people in those, like say farmers whose livelihoods might be affected because of the changes that will obviously come with the if the reservoirs go ahead, like the ones basically who are affected, really whose livelihoods are affected, has it really motivated them to become active, to become aware, to challenge it?
Yes, I mean there is a strong opposition against it.
Yeah.
But it's very divided.
Right.
And people in the local community who oppose it very much tend to get ostracized.
Yeah.
And but I mean a lot of farmers are going to be affected both by these huge electric pylons that they're driving through the land and forcing to take to requisition their land if they don't accept having the pylons laid through even over their houses, but also because the dams fill up. Alcoa is trying to sell this like a renewable energy, green renewable energy, but if it's anything, it's pitch black energy.
Yeah.
Because in the first place it's not renewable, the dams fill because the rivers are glacial, they have lots of silt in them, and the dams actually fill up in about 40 to 80 years.
Yeah.
And then they just turn they've managed then to turn these incredibly vegetated areas, which is actually quite rare that the Icelandic highlands are vegetated, because it's so much the lava fields and deserts. But these are actually very vegetated and full of live birds. One third of the Icelandic reindeer population will be displaced. And so after about the problem with the silt will start immediately.
Yeah.
Because the levels of the reservoir fluctuate, and so the silt turns, when it dries, turns into this powdery dust that gets blown all over the highlands and the rural areas and destroy the remaining vegetation in the vicinity.
Yeah.
And also it's such a greenwash, the whole everything behind this project, that they're saying that this, by using green energy, so-called green energy for the smelter, in the first place the smelters, aluminium smelters are amongst the most polluted factories that you get on earth.
Yeah.
And the rivers, the glacial rivers, it's been discovered actually, because they take some of the silt to the ocean, they actually, when they meet the ocean, they actually counteract the greenhouse effect. So they actually transform CO2 into calcium, and are therefore an incredibly important way for nature to fight the greenhouse effect.
Yeah.
And at this stage of history and what we are facing with the greenhouse effect, it's absolutely suicidal.
Yeah.
To stop these rivers doing this amazing function.
But you still have hope, though, that things can work positively. Like, you're calling for more actions now. Do you think they can be beaten? Is it realistic to think that?
Well, I mean, there are so many people who basically love so much the land that's going to be affected by the Kárahnjúka dams that I very much doubt that they will get away with the Kárahnjúka dams without a lot of people putting very, very heavy fight up to the very last moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, very desperate fighting will take place.
Yeah.
Because people just don't want to lose.
Yeah.
This very, very special land.
Yeah.
But even if we lose on the Kárahnjúka dams themselves, we have already, by fighting them already so ferociously, we have already saved another area, which is Þjórsárver, which is listed by the Ramsar Convention as one of the most important wetland regions in the world, for particularly for as a breeding ground for pink-footed geese.
Right.
And in January, the Icelandic government actually got into trouble with that project because they were planning to do that for an Alcan, that's another corporation that already has an aluminium factory in Iceland, and it seems like they're going to have to back down with that project now.
Right, right.
So our campaign against Kárahnjúkar is already having effect on all the other projects that they've got planned. But also, I mean, Alcoa is trying to act as if there is no opposition in Iceland against them, and they announced now on the 1st of March that they are very interested in building another smelter in the north of Iceland. This one that they're doing the Kárahnjúka dams for is in the east of Iceland, but now they want to do another one in north Iceland. So, but I mean, the opposition is intensifying.
And what can be done, like, for say us here in Ireland, like, what can we do?
Well, of course, I mean, we would most of all like to see you to come to Iceland and join us at the camp. There will be lots of obviously direct action, but lots of cultural stuff as well, and lots of bands. Some really good famous bands will probably play there. Sigur Rós, possibly Björk even, and so on. But if people can't make it over, then support actions would be very, very much appreciated.
Sure.
Like Alcoa, they've got two different factories in Ireland.
Okay, okay.
And other companies that are subcontracting, and they're, if you look on the savingiceland.org, you will find a list of all the companies that are involved in these projects.
Right, right.
And so if you know that they are in Ireland, then you could do actions against them, and that would be great.
Okay, okay. Well, hopefully people will get involved and do what they can to help. But on a different note, how you're here at the Anarchist Book Fair, how do you think it's gone on? Or have you been at these sort of things before? Or is this your first time to Ireland? Or how have you got here?
No, I got loads of times to Ireland. Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
Good, good.
Yes. And yes, I've been campaigning. I went all over. Well, I went to Ireland last year, grassroots, and also all over the UK and Holland and Belgium and so on.
Have you been up to Rasport?
Yeah, well, no, we're going to go there after the weekend.
Yeah, I think you'll have a lot of similar ground to talk about and strategies and also seeing a beautiful area. It really is beautiful up there.
Yeah. We've already met some of them. I really look forward to going there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we can learn a lot of each other.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of similarity, like small countries, and I suppose, like, I don't know much about Iceland now, but here, like, you know, things can happen. Like, there's only a small enough activist community, but it is grown, and things can, we can win things, and like Rossport might win, Shell might be forced out, you know.
Yeah, certainly.
And if that happens, then that's going to inspire a lot of hope in more people.
Exactly. Yes, it makes us stronger.
Yeah.
And also this collects experience and of course, you know, we network, and we, from networking we get stronger and stronger.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so it's. I mean, we are now going onto a whole European tour for the next 2 months. We're going to Spain, France, Italy, Germany, Holland, Belgium, and Scandinavia.
Good.
And so, I mean, networking is really important, and the more people know about it, of course, because that's what the Icelandic government has really tried to do, is to try to keep the foreign media away from it.
Yeah.
That is what they really fear. Yeah.
And you were saying earlier on that in Iceland there isn't an indie media, is there?
No.
And
no.
Is there any, like, working group trying to put one together that you're aware of?
Well, we were sort of close to it. Then people started talking about that they wanted just to set up an Icelandic website and, you know, blah, blah, you know. But I think we should have an Icelandic indie media.
Yeah. And do you have much other forms of alternative media over there? Or what would it be, like, the local, I don't know, what would be the local, maybe one of the Scandinavians, would that be a local kind of one that you'd use?
No, not so much the Scandinavian links. They're not really that important to Icelanders. And I mean, in general, the media in Iceland is just completely controlled by the old rich and the nouveau riche.
Yeah,
and it's all conservative and pro-heavy industry.
Yeah.
So it's very, very, I mean, however much we change the public opinion, they always got the hold of the media.
Yeah, sure. That's another common story, I think, unfortunately. But no, here in Ireland anyway, like, I think the alternative media is growing. Indie media is growing and growing, especially last weekend with the riots that you probably saw. Like, you know, suddenly indie media editors were speaking on the radio. There's an article from Indie Media now appears in The Village, which is a proper mainstream magazine. It's quite alternative, but still, you know, so, like, it's grown. But I think more and more people are starting to hear the truth. And the more that we, you know, continue battling whatever our battles are, but also battling for that healthier media, that's, you know, because it's definitely part of it. So,
and the mainstream media is starting, obviously, also to monitor much more the alternative media.
Oh, yeah.
So that is really good. Because the mainstream media, although, yes, they are dominated and they are ruled by, you know, those in power, but also, I mean, they don't necessarily have the time to access the sort of information we've got. So they are just as ignorant as anybody else, you know.
Exactly.
So that's very good that they they're forced to start accessing, you know, our information.
Yeah. So come here, in wrapping up though, just any finishing thoughts about just the weekend or this the book fair? How do you think it's going? Or because, like, I've myself, I haven't been to any of these. Now this is a first one for me.
Well, it's it's gone very well, and it's always great fun as well.
Yeah, which is very important.
Yes, and it's always very good vibes. You know, anarchists aren't sort of dangerous loonies.
As much as the mainstream would try to paint that picture.
No, with bombs sort of under their frocks. You know, it's all very, it's usually quite sweet and friendly and soft people. You know?
Exactly. And a lot of very, very critical thinking and critical issues being presented to people that they wouldn't be hearing about otherwise.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So it's the fact that Ireland's first ever anarchist book fair, it's a start. Things are only getting better and better, and it sounds like you have a big fight, in fairness. But I think, like, I think there is hope. There's a lot of things are possible, and more people are becoming aware of that and doing something about it. So Ali, I don't know how to say thanks. Maybe you'll tell me how to say thanks in Icelandic.
Oh, takk fyrir.
Takk fyrir.
Takk fyrir.
Takk Finnish.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, listen. Thanks very much. Anyway, sure. Best of luck. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye.